Can you hear me okay? That's good?
Thank you.
Yeah, so here we are on day three, the third full day of our practice together. And there may be some settling happening. It seems like there's settling happening in our own respective processes. And also maybe there's more of a understanding of some of the more challenging parts of our lives that we're meeting. Maybe there's both. So we're in this realm of samsara, of birth, aging, illness, death, of changes occurring in this life that we might not want, or we might want, but they go, they leave. There's this practice, a chant that's done at many monasteries throughout the world, called the Five Remembrances, that some of you probably know. And it sort of encapsulates this predicament we're in this human realm. It's I am of the nature to age. I am of the nature to sicken. I can't escape it. I can't escape either. I am of the nature to die. I can't escape that. All that is mine, beloved, and pleasing will become otherwise. I can't escape being separated from them. And then the final one is, I am the owner of my kamma, the heir to my kamma, born of my kamma, related to my kamma, abide supported by my kamma. Whatever kamma I shall do, for good or for ill, of that I will be the heir. Thus we should frequently recollect. Thich Nhat Hanh, the fifth one there, he talks about, the way he states it is, my actions are my only true belonging. I cannot escape the consequences of my actions. My actions are the ground on which I stand. So, in relation to tonight's talk, we can't do much about the first four. Yeah, we can take our supplements. We can do yoga. We can do qigong and meditate and reduce our stress, etc. And the stream of life continues, the stream of samsara continues. It's aging, illness, death. We can't change those. We can't change being separated from those we love. So we're in this predicament, and what we do have agency with is that fifth remembrance. You know, my actions are the ground on which I stand. So how do we meet the first four? You know, those are inevitable. So can we bring some warmth into this practice? Love is what's needed to meet this dilemma that we're in. I don't think we can do this without love. In fact, love has been with us since the day we were born. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in this room, right? We were cared for. Our needs were met. We were held. We were loved. Yeah. Now, for some reason, this inner critic makes it very difficult sometimes for that love to be directed toward this being, meaning you. Now, the Buddha taught, to all as to myself, radiating kindness over the entire world, upwards to the skies, downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will. And it's this abiding, this pervading, with a heart imbued with loving kindness to all as to myself. So, can we do that? Can we direct this care toward what's arising in this body-mind? There is this poem by this nun from the Buddhist time, from Maddie Weingast's version. And it's of metta, which is like metta, which is kindness, friendliness, welcoming, warmth, love. And the poem goes, "Full of trust, you left home and soon learned to walk the path, making yourself a friend to everyone and making everyone a friend. When the whole world is your friend, fear will find no place to call home. And when you make the mind your friend, you'll know what trust really means. Listen, I have followed this path of friendship to its end, and I can say with absolute certainty it will lead you home." When the whole world is your friend, fear will find no place to call home. And when you make the mind your friend, you'll know what trust really means. So there's this, when I hear that poem and read it, there's this sense of safety, a safety in that we have the capacity to meet what's here, and a safety to allow what wants to come to feel safe, you know? I'm not sure if I explained that well enough. A way of allowing what wants to arise to feel safe to arise, so that we can meet it. And when something is met with that welcoming, the welcoming changes. It changes the consequences of what happens next. So the challenging aspects of our practice, the setting down the momentum of our days, the noticing maybe the worries or the anxiety or the pain, and can there be a certain warmth and care and love that we bring to that arising, to soften it, to hold it with that tenderness, to soothe it. I don't think we can underestimate the power of metta, of loving kindness. It's it's the path, it's the process, and it's the fruit. It can actually lead to the doorway to the unconditioned. And it's limitless. These Brahmaviharas are limitless. It's interesting that, you know, research is actually showing that the more we practice these qualities of love, of care, of warmth, of friendliness, the better we feel, and that the more we do it, the better we feel. And it doesn't say until X. It's just this. The research doesn't say, you know, and it stops when this happens, you know. It's just this sort of abundant, exalted, immeasurable. It just keeps going. It's warm, radiant. And I wish we could bottle it, you know. I wish we brought it forth more. Some of us do, and some of us forget how available it is. So what does it take? What do we need to remind us that metta is available? So karuna, the natural response to challenges. When we meet challenges, the most common response is to not want it, right? We have a pain, we want to push it away. We have an unpleasant arise and we want it to go away. And what we're saying with compassion, with karuna, is to turn around and meet it, walk toward it, touch it, you know, with sensitivity, with care. It's sort of the antithesis of the way most people are going, right? They're running away, they're trying to find an escape. And the escape actually is in the meeting it. And that takes courage. You know, it takes a lot of courage to turn, to shift the gaze toward what hurts. You know, but we've tried the alternative, you know, running from things, and what's the result? So it's a practice, it's a cultivation. It takes a lot of patience, courage, a willingness, a softness. You know, it's interesting talking about a softness and courage, these two qualities, a tenderness. And it's, you know, I'm just considering mudita, the third Brahmavihara. Joy. Yeah. You know, we've been talking about the four elements, and just the joy of this experience, of these, the manifestation of these elements in form, in body, in what we eat, in nature. Experiencing the joy of the simplicity of breath, of just this, the joy of feeling the ripples of an inhalation. The joy of being a part of this mystery we're a part of, this trees giving off oxygen, us giving off carbon dioxide, moon having this relationship with the tides. Yeah, just widening the view and resting in this mystery of so much that's harmonious in this realm that we can lose from the busyness and the headlines. And all this is going on, and we just need to see it. We just need to turn the gaze toward it to maybe feel the heart of gladness, of gratitude, of appreciation. There's this, you know, I'm thinking about children have this capacity to experience this joy pretty easily. And there's a story about this this artist, Maurice Sendak, who does these child illustrations, children's drawings, called Wild Things. And this boy, Jim, was really into these drawings. And he wrote a note to Maurice and said, "Thank you, you know, I really like your drawings." And he drew something himself to Maurice. And Maurice Sendak, he said he usually writes a note back to the kids, but this time he took time to linger and he drew a wild thing that was really well done. And so he sent it to Jim, and then his mom, Jim's mom, sends a note back to Maurice saying, "Jim loved your card so much that he ate it." He saw it, he loved it, and he ate it. He didn't care that it was an original print. He just ate it. So, yeah. So that's an aspiration we can have. That quality of just being in the moment of appreciative joy and just taking it in, literally. So metta, loving kindness, karuna, compassion. Being with what's challenging, mudita, joy, gladness, and upeka, equanimity or balance. A sense of ground. Knowing what we can and can't do, right response. So in terms of this, the title of this this retreat we're on, there's nothing you need to hold on to, there's nothing you need to push away. How did the Brahma Viharas fit into that? It seems that in the middle of that statement, there's metta. There's nothing you need to hold on to. There's nothing you need to push away. When we're standing in kindness, meeting what's here in the moment, welcoming what's here. Nothing you need to hold on to, nothing you need to push away. It's being with what's here because it's here. And bringing as much care and sensitivity and love to what's here, whether that be the complexities or ease of what's going on in our body-mind stream, how we're meeting the external, the perceived external. It's standing our ground in metta, in compassion, in mudita. So I just want to end this with a guided meditation on feeling into these Brahma Viharas in an embodied way. So if everyone could just find a comfortable posture if you're not already in one. Just feeling into, settling into being seated here, sense of ground. And space above and around you. Ground and space and breath. Feeling into the ripples of breath. And just scanning the body with a sense of metta, of welcoming what's here, allowing what's here to be here. Whatever the sensations are that you're meeting as you scan the body. Not demanding that anything changes, allowing everything just to be as it is. With a warmth, with a friendliness. There's this quality of metta to whatever sensations you're experiencing. The quality of love, of care, warmth. Nothing needs to change. I'm just welcoming what's here. This warmth of love, of friendliness, meeting the body sensations. Ah. pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. And then shifting the attention to a more uncomfortable place in the body, if there is one, not the most uncomfortable, but something moderately uncomfortable. And just wishing that this be a condition for the arising of care, of tenderness, of compassion. So maybe even breathing in and out as you focus on this area, just allowing the arising of compassion to occur toward this challenging sensation. So we turn toward what's uncomfortable and find that the heart can be with this too. It's got the capacity. Tenderness and care toward what hurts. Love, compassion, warmth. We can do this. We can meet what's here with these qualities. Can the gaze shift again toward joy? Anything here and now that gives rise to gladness, to joy, to appreciation, to gratitude. Maybe it's feeling the qualities of the breath, or maybe there are certain areas in the body that are open and easeful. Or maybe it's just the ability to offer kindness and compassion to a body, to this body, the capacity to do that. And then moving into equanimity, just feeling the changing sensations, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral, how they shift and change. And can we find some balance in the midst of that? Some ground. Can we find a sense of ease in these changing conditions? So toward the body, warmth, friendliness, welcoming, compassion, joy, gratitude, appreciation, toward this body, toward this being, equanimity. It's like this, meeting what's here, a sense of balance. Ground. You know, just like we chant, allowing these heart qualities to shine forth. And feeling into what it feels like energetically for when metta is practice, when it's cultivated, what does that feel like? So cultivating meeting what's here with that warmth means we're setting down, rejecting, and pushing away. And the more we cultivate the quality of metta, the more available it will be as we continue on. So it's worth cultivating. It's a heart protector. And may all beings have access to these heart qualities.
Show me to sit for about 15 minutes.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.